up, church family? Welcome back. So good to have you guys back. Warren and I, by the way, are so thankful for all of you guys. Yeah. We've had a few people subscribe on YouTube. We've had people listening on the audio version. And I've been having such cool conversations in person with people.
Come on.
I just wanted to say thank you to anybody and everybody that's listening. Also, shout out to Hi Mom. You know, I just want to say, hey, I know you're listening.
Let's go.
We have at least one diehard loyal fan in my mom. Shout out to Tyler and Sierra. You know who you are. Shout out to Levi. We got some loyal listeners.
Let's go.
It's just been really cool conversations. And I'm thankful for it. And I just wanted to say thank you as we're now into the second decade of our pod. We're in the next 10 episodes, you know,
I don't know. Yeah.
Decade's not the right way to say that, but, just really thankful. And I wanted to always share our gratitude about the journey that we're on, the things we're going to talk about. And I kind of wanted to start the episode today that way because we're kind of closing a chapter in our podcast trend. I promised you guys this, or I don't know that I promised, but I did mention we were dedicated to the idea of the F train. The F train is stopping. We are coming into the station, and today our episode starts with an A.
Come on.
So it's not an F. It's against our trend, and we're excited. It's a new challenge. Today, we wanted to talk about adventure what that means. So, Warren, this was kind of a little bit your brainchild, like we were kind of kicking ideas back and forth. What is adventure to you? What is, why adventure? Why did that make your list of possible episode topics?
So, I know we're going to throw around some ideas today about adventure, right? To me, adventure, it starts with excitement. I think it's an element you have to have an adventure. And it's excitement. And for me, that translates to life. I know that may sound a little like, whoa, that's a little boring, like life as an adventure. But it's a concept that I embrace and that I welcome. I believe that we take things for granted way too often. Hard things, easy things, challenging things, just life itself, we take it for granted. And therefore, we call life a journey. And sometimes on a journey, you're like, I want to hurry up and get there, or I don't feel like going on this journey. I'm just tired. I just want to stay in. But when you use the concept of adventure and you apply it to life, right, and different aspects of life, I think it makes life come alive. I think it gives you more appreciation, gratitude for the things that are happening in and around your life. And you also mentioned the amazing people who take time out of their day to watch us have these conversations about God, right? And so I just want to piggyback on that and be like, we are so amazingly thankful that you are on this journey with us, that you are taking this adventure, that you're going down this road with church and this podcast. I mean, me and Jason, when God kind of gave this to us, we didn't know it would be this great of an adventure. We were like, okay, let's go. God, we're going to trust you. And we're going to hit the go button. And it's been amazing to just communicate with people and to be able to speak into your lives and be able to share time and space with you. And so we don't take for granted the time that you devote to watching, to commenting, to the encouragement. It has been an amazing adventure.
So thankful. It's really cool. So excitement. That's kind of like the first piece for you of adventure, right? So I actually, in thinking about your prompting, made this list. So of features of adventure. And you and I haven't talked about this yet. So I'm curious to get your take on my conception of adventure in terms of trying to like analyze it. You know, I love to analyze something, break things into pieces and like figure out why they are what they are. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think about juxtaposition, right? So like typically when you go to the grocery store, you don't think of it as an adventure, right? So it could be things, adventurous things can happen. You know, there can be cataclysmic, you know, traffic in the what parking lot of the grocery store,
yeah,
or something like that. But typically it's a kind of like the mundane pieces of life, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have all three of these features. They have maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. And so my conception of adventure, right, is something that has a purpose or goal, right? Now, remember, it has to have all three. So going to the grocery store has a purpose. Like,
okay,
milk is important, right? The kids need milk for cereal. Like, we're going to need it. So you need eggs, you know, if you want to make an omelet. But the second piece, right, after a purpose and a goal, I thought of my conception of it is like a challenge or a risk. Hmm. And so the reason going to the grocery store to get eggs isn't, you know, unless you're in like a zombie apocalypse or like a post-apocalyptic world, going to a grocery store to get eggs isn't really challenging or risky.
Yeah.
And so I think that ties into maybe a little bit of what you were talking about in terms of excitement. Like that brings some of the excitement into adventures, I think, is the challenge or the risk or the kind of the difficulties you might push up against. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the third piece of that, so you have your purpose or goal, right? Okay. You have your mission. You have your challenge and risk involved in it that kind of makes it more adventurous. The third thing, and I don't know, I'm trying to conceptualize if this is necessary. I think from my definition of like a true adventure, it would be an unknown outcome or ending.
Ooh.
So an adventure, right? If I go to the grocery store and let's say it is challenging to get eggs, like you are having to like fight people off because it's the last carton of eggs or something. If it's the last carton of eggs, it is kind of an unknown outcome. Mm. You don't know if you're going to be able to get those eggs or you're going to have to like, you know, fight people off with a stick or something to get that last carton. And I've never felt that, like, you know, Walmart thankfully has eggs in abundance, or like, you know, Target has t-shirts and shorts when we need them. But when I go rock climbing, right, the purpose or goal could be just adventure, right? It could be like to have a good time.
Yeah.
That's a challenge or a risk because you're rock climbing and really unknown outcome. Are you going to make it? Are you going to get to the top?
Mm.
Are you going to get there without being injured?
Mm.
Is there a higher chance of the challenge and risk of injury, you know, being higher? Those kind of things. So that was kind of my conception. If you can plug something into having a purpose or goal, it involves challenge or risk and has an unknown outcome. I was like, well, those three immediately make it an adventure.
Mm.
So I just kind of wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. Did I miss something? And by the way, this all comes from a guy who's like, I don't think of myself as adventurous. So maybe I'm not the best barometer. So I really had to spend time. I love the prompting because I had to spend time thinking about what an adventure is, because I really like comfort.
Mm. You know,
being comfortable is easy. It's light and fluffy. And it's airy, and it's like a nice cup of coffee in my office right now. You know, like that kind of thing. Like that's not, I don't feel like we're on an adventure when I'm making coffee in my office. Mm. Sometimes the pod feels like an adventure though. You know, we have a purpose or goal. We're talking about challenging things or I don't know if you'd say risky things, but we're talking about difficult things sometimes. So that's a challenge. And we don't know what the outcome is going to be. How it's going to be received. So this is pretty adventurous for me, or like, I feel like we're on a cool adventure when we make the podcast. So what do you think, man? What did I miss?
Ooh.
I didn't include excitement, but maybe the challenge or risk is what the excitement was.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. So, first off, looking at your list, I think the perspective is you've kind of over-engineered adventure a little bit.
Probably.
I mean, you've really got the keys, but I agree with all the pieces, right? I think that it really pulls out a couple things, right? That we can sometimes shy away from adventure or redefine it in a different scenario, right? We mostly live in, when I think of adventure, right, all the things you talked about, I only see positive, powerful people with tenacity who run towards these things. When you described it, I don't see people who are having a hard time with life, who are struggling. I don't see them running towards what you're talking about. purpose and goal, not knowing the outcome and it being challenging. These things, right? I see people like ducking those things in life, just trying to survive. And so
you can't be on an adventure with timidity.
Come on.
Right. You can't be timid about it, I would think.
Yeah.
You have to kind of, an adventure, I feel like, is a purposeful pursuit.
Yeah. Like when you've chosen this, you've chosen this, and you understand that there are risks, there are challenges, and you may not, the outcome that you don't really know the outcome. Right. And so the way you kind of framed it, right, it goes back to the heart of really following God in a lot of aspects. It takes away one element, because when we put our lives in Jesus' hands, like if you go all the way to the back of the book, you already understand that it's a fixed game. Like you're going to win. But through the course of your life, there are a lot of elements in there where it doesn't look like you're winning. It doesn't feel like you're winning. And sometimes there's going to be bad things that happen that you didn't expect. You don't know how it's going to outcome. You don't know what elements God will take to get you to that finish line. You know, you will get to that finish line. Your ultimate goal is eternal life in heaven, right? But along that journey, what happens, right? Like what things do you get involved in? What things do you do, right? So like my walk with God is an adventure. I have this saying, and I didn't make it up. I think I stole it somewhere. I think I heard my dad say it somewhere. But it is, if you walk with Jesus, you will get in trouble. Right.
Oh, that's good.
You know? Yeah. And so, that, you know, you think like, what? I think I'm walking with God. I should be good. It's the polar opposite, because you go completely opposite of what the world says you should be or should do. And so it puts you in a lot of situations where you must be bold, right? You must take risks in order to stand for Christ, to live a holy life, right? And you don't always know the outcome. Many times, Jason, I know you can relate to this, that it's an adventure just being in an organization that's not rooted in God. And sometimes being in organizations that are rooted in God, it's an adventure to be a professor at a Christian university, because you don't even know if their Christian values are really Christian values or if they're mixed with secular values, right? To be in corporate America and be a Christian, it's an adventure because you don't really know the outcome. You don't really know if you can really show your faith or you have to bottle it up when you're in the office. It's an adventure when you walk out the front door every morning, going to school, to work, whatever you do, right? Because you don't know if you're going to return back home the same way you left out. And so I think those are good elements as a guide to help people redefine some of those things in life that they have lost the adventure of this life, right? The gift of this life, the enjoyment and the excitement. I think those elements that you talked about are really good to kind of keep us on that track, to kind of draw us back to the heart of God. Like, look, this is, you're walking this life out, but many of us call it a journey, right? But we know the destination, but along the way, God will call us out to hard things, difficult things. And we have to be able to meet those challenges and understand that with goals and purposes in line. So that's kind of where I'm kind of hidden. I agree with the things you said. I just want to add that excitement piece in there, because I think those elements, they draw you closer to why we do what we do. I don't think anybody goes on an adventure that they've chosen, right, not expecting great things or success things to happen, right? And my kind of question for you is, and I kind of know this about you, so I'll tell the world a little bit about it, right? So your academic career, right? We know you're Professor Jason, right? Your academic career, right? How did you approach when you went for your graduate degree? Because there's a definite line between going to college, being successful, getting an undergraduate, and a lot of people don't return for that graduate degree or go into academia. So when you decided to go, right, to graduate school, right, the path you chose, how did you approach it? Did you approach it like, this is my academic journey, or this is my this is an adventure I get to go on, because there's a lot of challenges and unknown outcomes in that. So I just want to see how you kind of unpack that in that vein of adventure.
Yeah. So for me, it was certainly an adventure. So I went to graduate school with people that they do it for the degree,
mm-hmm.
right? They're just kind of lifelong students. And I think that's kind of a beautiful pursuit, if not occasionally empty.
So is that a journey? So, more of a journey type of
situation? It feels like a journey where I wouldn't call that adventurous necessarily, because the outcome seems to be unimportant, right? The outcome is finishing well. Most of academic studies, by the way, undergrad and graduate, it's really about stamina,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, your success is going to be in your continued pursuit. Unless it's something where the results are exact, like if you're a brain surgeon,
mm-hmm.
it's not just about stamina. It's also doing brain surgery well.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a rocket scientist, the rocket needs to work.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of academia, I think it is honored and respected if you just continue the journey. It's not perfection, usually. And I think that's a misnomer. Like, you get your master's degree.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you are now the best business person, the best graphic designer that ever lived. For me, it represents finishing well.
Okay.
I had the stamina to do what kind of the bar gets set higher by your professors and, mm-hmm. and the classes that you're in, and kind of the things that you study, you push yourself further.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you're not necessarily nervous that you won't finish, right? That you're going to succeed if you maintain the stamina. The real challenge for me in tying my graduate journey into my kind of definition of an adventure, the purpose or goal wasn't just to get the degree. The purpose or goal was to get the job as a professor, because I had an opportunity to go present back at my undergrad, Christopher Newport University in Newport News, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the captains listening. And I had an opportunity to go present while I was an art director working in Virginia Beach. And when I went, it just lit me up like a light bulb, man. Like, this was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The situation was exactly fitting my personality. The students were excited about what I was presenting. I felt comfortable speaking in front of people. It just aligned so much with kind of the gifts I feel like God has given me, the things that have been nurtured in my life that I'm thankful for. All of it seemed to come together presenting to this classroom.
Mm.
And so we went over time. The professor that was actually working in the classroom at the time had to kind of cut things short, which is a good sign, right? The students are still asking questions, and they kind of had to do the, okay, guys, one more question. And I just was blown away. So the students clear out, they leave the room, and I look at the professor and say, I got to look into this, how we do this. So
yeah,
that was the start of my journey. It was like, how do I do this? Well, you need that master's degree. It's kind of the key to the door if you want one of these jobs. And so the purpose or goal was to move into being a professor. I just felt like that was the trajectory. I could feel it. The thing I liked most about my corporate design jobs was helping teach and lead the team, which is a lot like a teacher.
Yeah.
It wasn't the actual design work itself. It was the human interaction part of it that really engaged with me and got my heart singing, you know? So the challenge or risk of that is you got to go do it, right? Okay. That's not the unknown outcome, right? So the challenge or risk is the time, the energy. You have kids, you have a job, and you're going to go sacrifice these things, vacations and holidays and events with kids, right? Events with your family, because you have homework due.
Yep.
Like, you're going to sacrifice these things because you're pursuing the goal. So that's kind of the challenge or risk, if you want to say that. I'd say challenge. The risk is like a weird way to put that for academic pursuits. The unknown outcome is, am I going to get a job as a professor? Right? Is it going to pay off?
It's going to pay off.
That I go do this, right? am I going to have to wait a decade to get one of these jobs that they're not exceedingly rare, but you have to be willing to move where the jobs are. Because if a professor like myself, been at my current place for 3 to 4 years now, don't plan on leaving anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So the job at Chauhan University is not going to open up. So then where are those jobs opening up at? And why are they opening up? You know, and I'm not going to name any names. It's not about taking a shot at anybody, but like sometimes jobs are opening up more regularly than others, which tells you, you could be on that short list of the job opening up again.
Mm.
So you don't want one where you've seen it three times in 3 years.
Yeah.
Like something's happening there that people are leaving or getting let go.
Yeah.
And so that's the unknown outcome, right? Mm. How is this going to pay off? Like, did we just invest money and time and energy and hope in getting this kind of new career transition? Because by the way, I didn't need to do any of it. I could have just sat tight, I guess, and stayed in my corporate job as an art director.
Comfortable.
Continued that path. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would have been great. I'm not against that for anybody.
Yeah.
Because I think some people really do love the marketing side, the design mm-hmm. side, more than the human interaction, more than the being a professor and kind of what that comes with. I just knew for me, it was worth the adventure because this is what I was going to push to do. And so for me, it is an unknown outcome, but it was one where I was willing to be patient and push towards it until God opened the door.
Mm.
And that's that faith component. And in a weird way, I feel like my journey with that, like praying about going to grad school and just saying, God, if this is where you want me to be, throw the doors wide open because I want to know what's supposed to happen. And when I applied, I got a phone call like that next week, like 2 days later from the recruiter at the grad school that I went to. Shout out to VCFA, Vermont College of Fine Arts. Awesome experience. The whole thing was just this beautiful journey in trusting God for me.
Yeah.
Right. And God rewarding me taking steps where I couldn't see the outcome. And what I think is interesting about, you mentioned Christian faith before and being an adventure following Jesus. The purpose or goal, right, is salvation for you and then for others. Love God, love people.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge or risk is that people aren't always going to receive it. The interesting thing you mentioned that I thought was really cool, because I think you touched on it for a second, but I wanted to make sure we really drive that home. We know the outcome for us in terms of post-life, but because our life is finite, the unknown outcome of that is like, hey, you're a disciple. Did you know you're going to get hung upside down on a cross, Peter?
Mm.
Did you know you're going to get stoned?
Mm.
Did you know you're going to be rejected in your own home? Jesus was rejected in his own homeland.
Yeah.
So do you know? No. That is an unknown outcome. As a Christian, am I willing to believe what I believe, even if no one believes it?
Yeah.
And even when I don't know what it will cost me?
Yeah.
And so that's the unknown outcome. So I would say it fits cleanly into my amateur, fresh definition of an adventure, right? I know the purpose or goal. I see the challenge and risk, and the outcome is unknown. But how cool is it that because we have faith in Jesus, right? We get to kind of have an adventure like a trapeze artist, like a high wire act at a circus. And what I mean is in practice, not in their presentation, like not their performing live, but in their practice, they get to do these daring things that are risky and challenging, but they have a purpose and a goal to entertain people, right? They have an unknown outcome, like, am I going to be able to grab the bar when I do a 360 flip? And I don't mean to throw any kind of shade or any weirdness about trapeze move names. I don't know what all that stuff is called. You know, I don't want anybody watching the pod to be like, well, it's not called that. I don't know. But whatever those moves are called, the things that the entertainers do up on a high wire act and things, it is an unknown outcome. Are they going to achieve the goal?
Mm.
But when they're practicing, they have a beautiful net underneath of them that they can miss the bar, but have all the faith in the world, they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the net and everything's cool, right? And so to me, we get to be like a trapeze artist that always has a net, right? It seems risky.
Okay. Yeah.
You're out there taking on challenges. Uh-oh, you might slip. God's got you.
Yeah.
The net will be there. And so what do you get to do, by the way? What does that mean as a trapeze artist? Well, you're maybe not going to risk some of those things if there's no net. But as Christians, we need to be the most daring trapeze artists there are, right?
Oh.
We need to be out there reaching for that bar, even if it looks slippery, even if it seems far away. We got to go for it because we do know there's a net. We do know the ultimate outcome. And I think sometimes as Christians, as people, as humans, we get so nervous about the earthly outcome.
Come on.
That we don't accept the freedom of the net. We don't look down. We're just too nervous. We don't trust the net, maybe. Ooh, here we go. We don't trust the net that's about to catch us.
We don't have faith in that net.
Yeah. Is it really going to catch us or are we going to die? Right? Is it real? Is the net real? How do you know? Have you interacted with the net? Well, here's the thing. If you look at a trapeze artist that has done this before, they know the net will catch them because what have they done? Spent time with the net.
Yep. They've been in the net. They trust the net.
They're comfortable with it. How many times have they fallen and the net has caught them, right? Mm-hmm. So the next time over, they're going to try even more daring things, even more challenging things. They're going to go on a bigger adventure because they know the net's got them.
Come on.
Let me say it on the pod. Go on big adventures because God's got you.
Come on.
If you're a Christian, go on bigger adventures. Ooh. Whatever that looks like for you, God's got you. So are you nervous that you're going to lose a little bit of time on earth? Because our time on earth, if you looked at a bar graph or a chart of that versus infinity, eternity with God, this is an easy 70 years, right? Let's say you get 100 years. Let's go crazy. Like most people don't live to be 100. That's nothing.
Compared.
Like it's a blip. And in an interesting way, without God, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like that your life goes by like that. To me, it drives like a really fun urgency of like, how many people am I going to talk to about things that are important today?
Yeah.
Because I just don't have time to waste.
Yeah.
Right? I got to trust the net because I don't have time to be scared if I'm going to miss that trapeze bar. So that's where I'm at with adventure. And so when I said I'm not adventurous, I suppose I like adventurous ideas, right? I meant like, and maybe we could touch on this a little bit. I meant like whitewater rafting or like bungee jumping. I'm just not the guy.
You need a guy?
Like, yeah, but like practical fear-based adventure.
Roller coasters?
Because to me, I'm okay with roller coasters. To me, it's like the odds of like things that people are scared of.
Mm-hmm.
But like rarely do people ever die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stats guy, like statistics guy. I, you know,
yeah.
Sharks in the water.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you could stir up fear about that, but like you're more likely to get hit by lightning twice than shark attack or something. Like it's some crazy stat. Don't quote me on that. I know people are going to be Googling and be like, no, actually,
but you can really like get bit by a shark.
I mean, in all seriousness though, you are more likely to get in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Than anything else, right? Mm. Like flying is safer than driving.
Yeah.
More people die from car accidents than flights, but it doesn't stop us from getting in our car every day. Why? Because we have a purpose and a goal. We're willing to accept the challenge and risk of driving. The outcome is unknown, right? But as a Christian, I feel like we have a little bit more known. In that, right? Like I trust God.
Yeah.
I have faith that what's supposed to happen is going to happen because he knew it before it happened.
Come on.
So anyway, that's when I said I wasn't adventurous earlier. I love adventurous ideas that people think are unusual. Like I love being the guy who believes in Jesus and Bitcoin and things that other people kind of sneer at or like look down on or even don't trust all the way because I trust that I was wise enough to do the research and that I've prayed on those things and God has kind of opened up doors and pathways, right? And you have to be adventurous. You have to be brave if you want to make an impact on people's lives. Mm. And so I don't know how whitewater rafting would help me make an impact on students' lives at church or students' lives at Chuan or my wife and my family. But I do know that risking everything being a Christian when the world tells you that's not okay.
Yeah.
Or trusting Bitcoin mm-hmm. when the world says that's not okay. Or how dare you equate the freedom of Bitcoin to the freedom of Jesus, right? And the world will try to shame you down. Do you believe what you believe, even if no one else believes it?
Mm.
I do. And that's my adventure. Not whitewater rafting, not bungee jumping, not skydiving also. That's like another one that I'm kind of like baffled by.
Safe.
Like the joy, the pros and cons, right? The joy of jumping out of an airplane. The pro of that maybe just is not high enough for me. Cause the con of like whoopsie daisy is just not.
Just I don't know if it's whoopsie daisy. It's like,
well, it's more like splat, but you know what I mean? I mean, not to be.
Well, the statistics of that happening, it's safer to skydive than it is to drive to work.
See, I knew what you did there. So I do skydive to work though. Did I mention that on the pod? I heard it was safer. So now I'm going to jump out of helicopters.
That's what's up.
No, but anyway, to me, the adventures of life are like, it needs to be the purpose or goal of the adventure needs to be so worthwhile that the challenges and risks are worth it.
Mm.
So the purpose or goal of what, man, I'm just trying to think of risky stuff. I mean, even like playing sports, right? You got to love the sport because you line up. If you love playing football, you love playing basketball, you love playing hockey or any of the contact boxing, MMA, right? You got to love that because the risk of that is much higher, right? Mm-hmm. Than somebody who, and this is no disrespect, but if you're playing golf or tennis, typically no one's going to tackle you.
Mm.
Typically, you're not making physical contact with another human body going equally and opposite your speed and crashing into you. Basketball, you do. Hockey, you do. Football. So these sports, like you got to love pursuit of the unknown outcome of are you going to win or lose? Mm. You got to love the purpose or goal of like getting a trophy or playing with your teammates or whatever that is. When you're in sports like that, you got to love what you're doing because the challenge or risk is so much higher than not playing.
Yeah.
Like I guarantee when I was playing in a basketball game three nights ago, the odds of me getting hurt are much higher than the people sitting in the stands watching the game. Not that they couldn't get hurt, but my risks and the challenges of me playing are much higher. But I'll tell you what, the reward of playing that game and winning worth every risk or challenge that I put out there on the court.
I love how you kind of gave that last analogy. And I just want to just kind of exit off the freeway for a little bit and talk directly to those people who are listening. This is a point where I believe God's speaking to us in general. Like if you're in the stands of your life, right? If you're in the stands, like, and you're watching your life go by up and down the court and you're just a spectator, it's time for you to get out of the stands and to get on the floor, to not be afraid. There is a net that will catch you, right? There is something that God has put on the inside of you that he's calling you to do. I don't know if it's higher education. I don't know if it's missionary work. I don't know if it's just being more bold in your faith. This is the adventure of your life that God has gifted to you. What you do with this gift is your gift back to God. So don't waste it. Don't play it safe. I'm not saying to go out there and get crazy, but go out there and get crazy. Go out there and take advantage of every moment that God has given you. Because this is what we're here for, right? This is what attracts people to God. Attractive people doing things that other people like that doesn't seem right. Yeah, but God directed me to do this. God directed me to end this career and go do this. He sent me into ministry. He sent me to the mission field. He told me to volunteer at my church. He told me to get involved with people who are hurting to share the word of God. When most people would be like, I'd rather just Netflix, or I'd rather just scroll on my phone, right? I'd take it easy, right? I seek the comforts of my life. I'm pushing all of us, and I'm talking to me as well. out of your comfort zone into the adventure that God is sending you into. And I don't even know what that is, but you do, right? And most people are like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You may be afraid to tell somebody about it because what they may say to you, but you know what's inside of you. You know what God is putting you. When I talk to people and they're like, I don't know what direction to go in my life. I'm like, yes, you do. You're not telling me the truth. You may be afraid to tell me or to share it with the world, but you know what your assignment is. And it may be so out of this world that you're just like, that's just unbelievable, but that's what it is. And if you don't do it, it just won't be done by you. Right. So do not leave the adventure of your life on the floor as you watch your wife go by, as you sit in the stands. Let's get up.
Yeah.
Let's get out and let's get to adventure. Jason, I love the pieces that she shared, man. It's so, so awesome. So great, man. So powerful. This has just turned out to be an amazing conversation. I love how you say that, you know, the risky things you don't like to do. We have such a great, strong friendship, man. And I'm not jumping out of planes. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not jumping out of planes or skydiving or whitewater rafting. But I did spend 21 years in the military. And as I look back at that, right, that's a little, I think God gives you grace for seasons. As I'm now, you know, at this stage in my life, I understand what the older military people used to say, like, you'll never stop talking about your war stories, right? And I got a treasure trunk of war stories, right? I remember I did 13 deployments, and I remember there came a time where I was in a prominent leadership position. And it seemed like my sailors were taking deployment as an inconvenience to their life. And deployment is an inconvenience, but it's what we've signed up to do, right? It's what we said that we would do. And so it was just, we were about to deploy with the wrong attitude, that's an inconvenience. I don't want to be here. And that's a very dangerous mindset, to take, sailors into a deployment on, because although, deployments can be statistically reasonably safe, that is not a guarantee.
Yeah, I could see them being risky enough.
Yeah.
I mean, so let me ask you this, right? I don't want to interrupt your story. I try not to usually, but I got to know. When you're like sailing around, even if you're kind of like, I've heard of tours that are kind of like, what would you call it? Like a friendly mission. Like, I have a buddy who's going to deploy to Scotland. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying like, it's really just about visibility.
It is.
Right. You're showing that the US Navy is available to people, and you're kind of like maybe practicing tactical things. But like if you're going to Scotland or Norway or, you know, Northern Europe kind of stuff, and you're not on a mission, it's really like exploring the town. Mm-hmm. But I would have to think, even with those missions, you're on a boat that has US Navy on the side.
Yep.
You are kind of always a target.
Yep.
Or could potentially be a target. Is that is that fair to say? I don't know enough about it to like
speak to it. It's funny how our brains connect. You're leading me right into the main point of where I was going.
Boom. Okay.
I'm taking these guys on deployments, right? And the Navy does a lot of, you know, even though we're at war at sometimes, we do a lot of deployments that are just, they're friendly theater security deployments where we're around the world. We're just showing face, saying, hey, we are the United States Navy and we're the most powerful Navy in the world. And we're in your neck of the woods. We're visiting your ports. We're going to your countries. And it seems like it is just run of the mill. It's what we do, but we're on a warship. That's what we do. We train for several months prior to deploying, and we do all the fun stuff, shoot the guns. We train firefighting. We prepare for every scenario. And when we pull away from our country, when we pull away from that pier and we float away, we are essentially at war because we are a warship. There are enemies on all everywhere. We're always looking for people to attack us. We're looking for people for a fight. That's the nature of the business. And I had to remind my sailors that, and I'm telling them, I'm like, look, guys, I know you guys think that this is just run of the mill, but I can't guarantee you I'm going to bring all of you back. And if you guys don't get your head in the game, we won't bring everybody back, because the normal things that we do every day are dangerous. Right. So I need you to not only understand what we're doing here, but I also need you to be in a position of gratefulness that you get to do this. Yeah. Like, you get to sail around the world on a warship and protect our country and our country's interests. That's what you signed up for. You get to do it.
And you get to see places most people don't get to see, you know, or not most, but just a lot of people are never going to see some parts of the world.
Yep.
Like, I think I will probably die someday. And I think I will also probably not see like Bahrain.
Ooh.
Or, you know, there's places like, you know what I mean? Like, I could see that for me, it's not like essential to my life to see all of the places. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Abu Dhabi would be cool. But the truth is, for me with travel, if it's something where it's extra difficult, I'm probably okay. Like, I'll vacation somewhere, but like, if we're, Australia seems cool,
but it's,
but
far.
if I'm going to be burnt out from 24 hours of travel, like, I'm just okay. Like, I don't need to, unless there's like a real purpose or goal.
It's worth it.
I know it. So I'm sure later in life, right? Like, but I love Puerto Rico because the trip there is pretty easy and it's beautiful and tropical. And so I'm the kind of guy where I'm like, if I find a few places that I like, I don't need the adventure because the challenge and risk of it is like up here in my mind.
Yeah.
But like, the reward is somewhere way lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like down. So like, Australia, awesome. But if I can go to Puerto Rico and the beach is like just as nice to me, why spend an extra 18 hours on an airplane?
Well, let me tell you why. Australia is
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let me sell you I have my bullet point, my so presentation good. On Australia. Yeah. But that's what I was wondering is like, for those guys, I mean, that's gotta be some of the benefit is like, you as your job, even though it's pulling you from family sometimes, you get to see these things that are like rare.
Oh my goodness. People.
You know, like, you get to go places that people don't get to go.
It's, and I'm not a promo for the United States Navy.
No, I get Navy Chiefs.
But
is that y'all's mascot for real?
Our mascot's a goat.
Like, Chief.
So.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said Chiefs, like, you're a chief.
Yeah.
I get it. Cause I was like, y'all are the Chiefs, like Kansas City?
No.
Kansas on your helmets
City.
Or whatever?
Way better than Kansas City. Trust me. What we do allows Kansas City to do.
Hold on. I don't know if you know. Have you heard of Patrick Mahomes? Calm down.
Let me see. Have you heard of 1% of the population of this country protects 99% of the population? I'm just going to shout out all the armed forces right now. Because we get to do this in America because of those men and women. So those brothers and sisters in arms, they deserve our, right? So
is that 3 million people?
What do you mean?
I just did the loose math. Like, we have 300 million people in the U.S. And so the armed forces have about 3 million. You said like 1%.
Total. We mean, and sometimes we're less than 1%. Like, I know the United States Navy in strength somewhere around 350,000, 400,000. And so you like multiply it through the branches, and the Army, I think, is the biggest branch. And so we may be somewhere around, I don't know, 1.2 million in strength.
Shout out to Silas Fowler, my cousin, who is in the Army.
Let's go.
So I don't know what, I couldn't give you the 3-digit number, like the 109th or what, I don't know. But yeah, he's in the Army. So he went and joined. I got family members and all kinds of stuff, military. I mean, I respect it so much. Like, the adventure of that. See, adventure of the Navy wouldn't have been worth it to me unless I was a Navy SEAL.
Hmm.
In my conception, so this is how my brain works, right? Let's tie it to our adventure thing. So the purpose or goal of the Navy is to protect the seas, or like fight battles, or
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Threaten evil. That's what I would say. You don't always have to fight evil, but you at least have to be like the bigger kid who's a good guy.
We're a deterrent.
You know, you got to fight the bull. There you go. A deterrent. That's the great word that I was looking for. The challenge or risk of being like a midshipman, if you will, which I, to be fair, do not know what a midshipman does, but I know it's like, you know what I mean? It's on ship and stuff. Any of those jobs, I'm like, okay, that's all right. Unknown outcome, you know, it could be fighting. To me, the purpose or goal for a Navy SEAL in my head is like so high, like it's so valuable that the challenge or risk, even though it's like in theory way higher, right? Like you are risking it all in missions you're never allowed to talk about, and you're going to go maybe do things you're not allowed to talk about in places nobody knows exist, all those kind of like marketing things. To me, that unknown outcome is worth the purpose or goal of like, we're the 12 people right now that are keeping the rest of the world safe as we hunt this terrorist, or like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We are the guys. And so there's something kind of spiritual to me about that. Mm. Like you are the protectors of the world. If you are on a mission where you are handling things that are fighting people that are evil, then I got to say like that, the purpose or goal seems so high that no challenge or risk would be too, like if I was a Navy SEAL, I would skydive if it would help us on the mission.
You would have to.
You know
to.
What I mean? Yeah. Cause you're, well, right. Cause you're, that's like the, what do they call the helo the jumps? Dark. Like the high altitude or halo jump, high altitude, low oxygen, mm-hmm. right? Those kind of things. Totally would never do that for fun. Like that's not my thing. And by the way, nobody's asking me to. I'm not like, it's not like I get a bunch of offers for skydiving all the time. But for the Navy SEAL job and there's a mission at hand, it's kind of like sports to me, mm. right? Like, when you play pickup basketball and it's just for fun with friends, look, you're not out there like, I'm not saying you're ever trying to hurt somebody, but you're not out there. You're purposely like, I'm gonna let that guy score. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'll let him get past me. In a game where there's some championship on the line, I'm not letting you score. Mm. Like I'm gonna go up and defend and like, I'll do my best. I'm not gonna play dirty, but I'm also gonna like, make physical contact with you on defense. Whereas when you're playing pickup, like we're just out here. It's kind of like jousting or not jousting. What am I talking about? Fencing, right? With fencing, when you really fence, like if people really fence back in the day, like German, I don't know if you know this about, I don't even know how we got on this topic, but I love it. German soldiers would fence and purposely let their scars look bad. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you had a bunch of facial scars, you were in battles that you won, right? And guys would die fencing. And then there's also the fencing where you have like a cap on the tip of your sword. So it's like a little ball. And that way you can poke each other. You know, you're simulating war, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so to me, that's what pickup basketball is. You're just simulating like, this is what it feels like. But when something's on the line, the challenge or risk might be higher, but the purpose or goal is so much higher. Mm-hmm. I'm not even thinking about the challenge or risks anymore. We have to get this mission done. And so to me, that's my mindset, like Navy SEAL, mm. You know.
Wow.
FBI feels bigger than local sheriff. And so local sheriff, dude, I'm not saying you're not on an adventurous job where you're risking your life. I'm saying if I was going to be law enforcement and really risk my actual life for a job, the purpose or goal would have to be X times higher in my mind, like national security, not, you know, small town North Carolina security.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm saying that's how I'm built. And maybe I'm being so disrespectful and I apologize. I don't mean to like, I love what every police officer, fireman, what everybody does to keep us safe. And I appreciate it. And by the way, I risk almost nothing every day, right? Other than my intellectual, pushback on the norms, right? So I'm not risking my life per se. So I'm taking nothing away from those. I'm just simply saying, to me, that's the adventure of it, right? Is like, I've measured the purpose or goal, I've measured the risk. And then as long as the purpose or goal is higher than the risk, I'm in. Sign me up. So
be careful.
I'm willing to watch these things. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not, hey, we're out here, man. So
You want it all. You're like, let's go.
Well, no. I want importance. I don't need it all.
I don't. Let's
actually,
go.
Actually, is that what you're... Okay, yeah. I was trying to figure out. I don't need it all, actually. There's a lot of things I wouldn't mm-hmm. risk things for. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But there's a few select things. Like, there is no measure... I sound like Jason Bourne right now. I don't mean to. There is no measure to what I would do in defense of my family.
Mm.
Right. And man, I got to call myself out a little bit. I'm not sure how that lines up biblically.
Mm.
Right. Like there's like grace for people that do evil things to your family because God still loves them. So like, there's like some,
okay,
you know, mm-hmm, vengeance is probably like a discussion for another episode, but that's what I mean. Like the adventure of that is like, I don't mind the unknown outcome and I don't mind the challenges or risks if my purpose or goal is so high level, mm-hmm, for me. Like it's so important to me. The challenge or risk is like considered. I'm not irresponsible, but I'm also like, let's go. That's it. Like it doesn't matter. The purpose or goal is worth whatever we're about to expend on this. So is that kind of what you were trying to ingrain in your guys on the boat when you guys were taken off? Is that were you trying to elevate their purpose?
Oh yeah. I'm trying to, yeah. Because
like, is that the,
because inherently, everyone who serves in the military, they go through this, they go through this. And it kind of happens at boot camp where you go from being a civilian to being, not a civilian. You're part of a whole different, you know, select group of people. Yeah. And it's easy to get complacent in that. It's easy to forget the purpose of why you're here, right? And so I relate that almost to Christians, to believers, that you are different.
Uh-oh, here we go.
You're set apart. You're not normal, right? Like you're in the minority of the people on the earth, right? But you have been, you're here for a reason. You're here to share. You're here to disciple. You're here to walk in the way that God has commanded us to walk so that we affect the earth, that we bring others to God, right? And so it's easy to get caught up in life and be like, this is just my journey. I'm working, I'm saving money, I'm trying to buy the next shiny thing. And you forget the purpose of why you're here. Right? You forget the purpose of why God put you here. He put you here for his glory, not for your big house. He put you here for his glory, not for your next promotion. These are all substantive things that happen in your life that should bring more glory to God. And so one of my things is to bring, you know, at that point with those sailors, is to remind them like, yeah, this may be inconveniencing you, but this is what you do. This is right now, this is who you are, right? This is your purpose. Yeah. So get your head back in the game and let's get out here and let's do what we came to do.
If you wanted to take a faith angle on it, you could look right at those sailors in the eyes. Now imagine this, right? You're in there and the sailors are lined up, their hands are behind their back and they're like listening to you and you look at them dead in the face and you say, hey, God loves you. We need to give him our worship.
Yeah. I just got that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I wouldn't make that joke the whole time you were talking. I was like, I know you're not allowed to talk about faith in the Navy necessarily, but like, we got to give God our worship. Maybe we should give God our worship. That's a t-shirt.
It's surprising how strong faith is in the military. And I know this firsthand.
Are you guys allowed to talk about faith? Hmm? Like, can you discuss it? Like, I mean,
so we have to be a respecter of everyone's religious background.
Right.
But the military does an amazing job making space and room for all faiths. Right. And I know this because I have to use another term here, but when it happens, when everything blows up and we're in the thick of it, let me tell you, God's there. He's there in people who usually don't acknowledge them. I was serving in the Middle East when in the Arabian Gulf when the Twin Towers fell. And let me tell you.
Wow.
I had a Wednesday night gospel service. And so I knew of the Christians on the ship. Like I knew it was about 14 out of like 550. So
14 people out of 550
that were just, you know, would come to church and just kind of talk about consistent. Their faith consistent, right? Like,
sure.
But let me tell you, when those towers fell and we were locked and loaded and it was time to go, we were afraid. We were scared. Like, it gets heated out there. And yeah, people start talking about their faith when the unknown happens, when the scary happens. Yeah. It seems like God just rises up to the top of the forefront of what you're doing when there's the unknown. You don't know if you're going to return home, because think about it. America just got attacked. We're in the hotbed. We're in the region already. We're there.
Right.
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 We don't know if we're getting attacked next. We don't know what's happening next. We don't know what we're going to do next. What's the assignment? Like, it's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of our loved ones. Okay. And so when there's nowhere else to run, let me tell you, people run to God.
Yeah.
When there's no other options, people run to God. And I've seen it in my own two eyes. I'm like, yeah.
Did you see an uptick in attendance?
Oh, yes.
Like you,
I think, the night this towers fell, I was stationed in Earl, New Jersey, which is, if you know anything about New Jersey and New York, like it's like separated by water. So from where my ship was docked, you could see those towers. We had people on the ship, their loved ones worked in that region, in that area. And so, it was like no sleep that night. I think, we opened the chapel and I promise you, I prayed with at least 100 people, that particular day. It was just a very somber, that experience was just mind blowing. So I know in the people who serve in our military, these are people of, number one, of extreme sacrifice. And I think at the core of what we do, the chaplain, organization throughout all of Department of Defense is just a phenomenal organization. Because you need those warriors of faith out there for those people who are on the front lines. So
it's awesome, man. That's so cool. That's an adventure.
Oh yeah.
Like you're stacking adventures on themselves. I don't know if you realize that, but you're just in the Navy alone. And then you're a Christian in the Navy. Then you're a Christian leader.
Yeah.
In the Navy, right? Both in your faith, but like the men and women under your command. That's the right word, I think. But just the layers of adventure you're stacking, I don't think people realize that sometimes that's not even purposeful. I think God just does that. Mm-hmm. You know, like he brings opportunities, and I think it's opportunities for discomfort, right? Which is adventure. Like I think some people call adventure discomfort when they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Right. This is a bummer. I don't want to do this thing. Yeah. I was like, well, you could look at it like an adventure. This is what can you do to glorify God in this moment, mm-hmm. in this thing? What is the purpose or goal that God has? What are the challenges that he's going to get you through?
Yeah.
And then what are the unknown outcomes that God already knows?
Yeah.
Right. We don't actually, the cool part about being a Christian adventurer is you don't really need to know the outcome.
You don't.
Like it's an unknown outcome and you can have total peace because the God of the whole universe knows the answer already.
He does.
So do you trust him?
Come on.
I love
Come
it.
Come on.
That's the adventure, right?
That's the adventure.
The adventure is in faith.
In faith.
In everything that we're doing.
It's in trusting God with your life, all of it.
Yeah.
So good.
It's really cool. Thank you, Warren, man. You want to pray us out? I feel like that was it.
Absolutely, man.
I feel like we got there, brother.
Absolutely.
We had our adventure today.
This has been an amazing adventure of a podcast. So good.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you that we get to know you. We get to live our lives trusting you. God, we get to operate in faith. And God, today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just continue to give us the peace to trust you, to know that you are the net that is there as we walk through this journey of life, Lord, as we live this adventure out, God, that we can have confidence in knowing that you have our back, that we don't have to be afraid to do what you've created us to do, God. Lord, help us to lean into those things, to get out of the stands of life and get in the game, and to help us, Lord, to seek out those things that are difficult and hard and do them in your name for your glory. God, help us to keep you first place in all we do. God, I pray for every listener. Lord, I ask that you give them peace in their life and in their heart, God. And if they don't know you, God, Lord, let this be the day, Lord, that they begin a relationship with you. God, we just thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Always so good.
So good, man.
Awesome, brother. I'll see you on the next adventure.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.